The June 2026 HR and Payroll Month in Review gives Canadian HR leaders a practical look at the compliance issues, legal developments, and workplace trends that need attention right now. This month's updates show just how connected HR risk has become. Payroll decisions, privacy obligations, workplace safety, accommodation, immigration, hiring, employee monitoring, and termination practices are no longer separate issues. They overlap in ways that require HR teams to be more proactive, more consistent, and more careful in how decisions are documented. One of the biggest themes this month is wage and payroll compliance. Federally regulated workers now have a minimum wage of $18.15 per hour, unless the minimum wage in the province or territory where they work is higher. Several provinces and territories have also announced or implemented minimum wage increases, including British Columbia, Manitoba, New Brunswick, Newfoundland and Labrador, Nova Scotia, Ontario, Prince Edward Island, Quebec, and Yukon. For employers, these changes should trigger more than a quick payroll update. HR and payroll teams should review wage grids, employment contracts, salary bands, overtime calculations, public holiday pay, deductions, and job postings to ensure all wage-related obligations remain compliant. Another major theme is privacy and employee monitoring. One of the most important cases this month involved a bus company that installed an AI-based driver surveillance system in its vehicles. The system captured the driver's workstation and the front of the vehicle, and it allowed remote real-time viewing. An arbitrator found that the system collected significantly more personal information than the company's previous cameras, and that the privacy harm to employees outweighed the relatively modest safety benefit. The company was ordered to stop using the system and pay privacy damages to affected drivers. The key lesson is that employers cannot assume that safety or efficiency automatically justifies intrusive monitoring. Digital surveillance, especially when powered by AI, must be necessary, proportionate, transparent, and limited to legitimate workplace purposes. June also brings important developments in immigration and labor mobility. Alberta introduced legislation to strengthen provincial oversight of employers, foreign worker recruiters, and immigration consultants. The Northwest Territories announced deadlines for employers participating in its nominee program's employer-driven stream. At the same time, several jurisdictions are moving to reduce interprovincial barriers and make it easier for workers and businesses to operate across provincial lines. These changes reflect growing pressure to address labor shortages, credential recognition, and economic disruption caused by tariffs and shifting workforce needs. Workplace violence and harassment also remain high on the compliance agenda. Federal and provincial developments continue to reinforce the idea that domestic and intimate partner violence can become a workplace safety issue when it affects an employee at work. British Columbia is moving toward a uniform code of conduct for local elected officials that addresses bullying, harassment, and disrespectful behavior. Prince Edward Island is advancing legislation that would help people at risk of intimate partner violence access information about a partner's history. For employers, the takeaway is that workplace safety planning must account for threats that may originate outside the workplace but still create risk inside it. The case law this month also offers important lessons for HR decision-making. In Alberta, an executive who misrepresented that he was working toward an MBA was terminated for just cause. The court found that the misrepresentation breached the honesty and trust required of someone in an executive leadership role. This does not mean every resume error will justify dismissal. It does mean that dishonesty about a material qualification, especially in a senior role, can destroy the employment relationship. In British Columbia, a pediatrician's service contract was terminated after he refused to receive a COVID vaccine. The health authority argued that the contract had been frustrated because of the public health vaccination order. The arbitrator disagreed and awarded more than $388,000 in damages, and the BC Court of Appeal upheld the decision. The lesson for employers is that vaccination refusals, infectious illness policies, accommodation duties, and contract rights need careful legal analysis. Employers should avoid assuming that non-compliance automatically ends the relationship or eliminates the need for procedural fairness. Return to office and accommodation continue to create legal risk. In Ontario, an arbitrator found that requiring a disabled employee to return to the office full-time violated the employer's duty to accommodate. The employee had chronic sleep disorders, anxiety, depression, and other serious health issues. The arbitrator accepted that hybrid work was a reasonable accommodation, while also recognizing that management could decide which day the employee attended the office. The case is an important reminder that accommodation does not mean employees control every detail, but employers must seriously consider whether remote or hybrid work is needed to address disability-related limitations. Termination and discipline cases also reinforce the need for consistency and evidence. In Ontario, the Court of Appeal confirmed that income from a lower-paying job can still reduce wrongful dismissal damages. In Saskatchewan, the Court of Appeal upheld a wrongful dismissal damages award of nearly $350,000 where an employer treated a heated "I'm done" comment as a resignation, even though the evidence did not show a clear and unequivocal intent to quit. In Quebec and Nova Scotia, arbitrators pushed back where employers imposed harsh discipline without following progressive discipline or applying rules consistently. Health and safety updates also run throughout this month's review. Yukon's new administrative monetary penalty system is particularly important, with penalties ranging from $1,000 to $20,000 depending on the seriousness of the violation and whether it is a repeat offense. Employers should expect more enforcement, more public disclosure, and more pressure to prove that safety programs are active, documented, and followed in practice. The key takeaways for HR leaders are clear. Minimum wage changes should be treated as broader payroll and compensation compliance projects. AI and digital monitoring tools need legal and privacy review before they are implemented. Return to office decisions can create accommodation risk when disability-related limitations are involved. Resume dishonesty can support just cause where the misrepresentation is material to the role. Discipline must be proportionate, consistent, and supported by evidence. Domestic violence, harassment, and psychological safety should be treated as workplace safety issues when they create risk at work. The overall message from the June 2026 HR and Payroll Month in Review is that compliance is becoming more integrated and more demanding. HR leaders need to stay ahead of legal changes, review policies before problems arise, train managers to make consistent decisions, and document the reasoning behind key employment actions. Organizations that do this well will not only reduce legal exposure, they'll build safer, fairer, and more resilient workplaces.